views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the transformative show, We Carry the Light, with host Dr. Susan Allison, the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. Who are you right now? And who do you want to be? What is it that makes you happy, helps you feel fulfilled, and living your purpose? Tune in and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine. Now, here is your host, Dr. Susan Allison.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to We Carry the Light, where you find inspiration for transformation. I'm Dr. Susan, and I'm so glad you're joining us today, either live or listening to the archive show. So, I always tell you about my week, and in preparing for today's guest, Barbara Marks Hubbard, I have been thinking back to 2012, when she was on another show that I hosted at another network. Her book then was Birth 2012, and it was a great interview and such an important subject, how we as a collective humanity can discover our own soul's purpose, live it, and help others and the planet in the process. You probably remember the build-up to 2012, remember all the hype with all the prophecies recounted and people counting down to doomsday in that horrible movie, 2012. I was thinking about that this morning. So I also remembered what was happening for me right before the new year. I was at the county fair with my husband, and there was someone there from the local radio, well, actually local TV station, interviewing people. And he not only was asking us about the fair, but he asked us really interesting questions about our hopes for the coming year. I remember he said something to me like, "What do you want, or what do you wish?" And I swear this did not come from me. It came from the universe, and I call these divine downloads. But what I said to him was, "I want to help the entire planet heal." And I remember at the time, it just came out of my mouth, and he looked at me, and he actually started laughing. And he said, "Well, that's a very noble goal, but it's pretty unrealistic. But I have to give it to you that it's very noble." So I wasn't daunted, though. I still felt it inside me. And the very next morning, about 9 a.m., the phone rang. And there was a producer on the phone from a major network. And this person wanted to interview me to be a new host. And it was interesting because what they said was, "You know that we are a worldwide radio network, don't you?" And it just clicked right then. I realized I had aligned with the universe. In a few hours, that phone call came in. I was a host on that network for the Empowered Healer show, and I released my book, Empowered Healer, at the same time. So, yeah, no accidents. And I know that when we step up, when we align with our purpose and with the universe's need, when we want to be of service to humanity and the earth, things just line up. They happen. The Red Sea parts, the path unfolds magically, and the door opens. And what we must do is walk through. We have to take action. Now, our guest for today, Barbara Marks Hubbard, knows all about synchronicity and visions, about holding firm to her soul's purpose and achieving it over decades. Barbara Marks Hubbard is a futurist. She's a prolific educator and an author of 7 books, including a revised and updated edition of her seminal work, Conscious Evolution. She's an evolutionary thinker who believes that global change happens when we work collectively and selflessly for the greater good. Consistently ahead of her time, Hubbard speaks to contemporary change makers with the wisdom of past experience and a passion for new possibility. She shows how newfound scientific knowledge and technological advances can foster rather than impede transformational action. You can visit her online at evolve.org. So, Barbara, welcome to We Carry the Light.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. So I was mentioning to you before we started that your life is so inspiring to thousands of people, to readers and to listeners. I would love it if you could tell us when you knew you wanted to make a difference, when you felt and heard a calling. And I know this happened more than once in your life.
Well, I think it came when I first read Teilhard de Chardin, who wrote a book called The Phenomenon of Man. And I had been looking for meaning, direction, purpose of my life and life of our planet, actually. That started when the U.S. dropped the atomic bombs on Japan. And I realized that we could use all our brilliant genius to make weapons that could destroy the world. And my question is, what is the meaning of the new power to evolve the world? But what was the direction of evolution? And I did a big research project in the late 50s. What is the meaning of our power? The church, the academic world, the president of the United States? Nobody knew. So that's a very important thing, is also to find out you have a question for which nobody has an answer, for which there is a great need. I would say that was my first breakthrough.
Yes.
I had a great question, and it was a life, a deep life question. It wasn't, it never left me, which is an important thing about people who have a true vocation. So the question was like a vocation. I have to find out the meaning of our power. And in my research, I found out nobody knew. And I mean, literally, I got to meet President Eisenhower, and I said, what do you think is the meaning of all this new power that's good? And he said, I have no idea. And I went to Bryn Mawr College. I wanted to have a course on the direction of civilization. And then what was my vocation in that direction? And there was no course on the direction of anything. And then I tried to, I loved the writings of Jesus and Paul, you know, love ye one another. The sufferings of the present can't compare with the glory that shall be revealed. So I thought, well, I'll join the church. And I tried to do that at an Episcopal church in Scarsdale, New York. Basically, they told, I asked the minister, is any of this true? And he had no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
And he told me to go to Sunday school, where I learned that the real problem was Eve. Well, of course, that was a real upset to me, because I was exactly like Eve.
Yes, yes, yes. Many,
I wanted
many of us
to know all of this.
Many
so
of us are.
We are all the modern Eve. So in any case, when I read Teilhard de Chardin, this was the discovery that gave me life purpose. The discovery was God in evolution. The discovery was the direction of evolution. He called it the law of complexity consciousness. As systems become more complex, from single cell to multi-cell to animal to human to us now, as they become more complex, they jump in consciousness, freedom, and order. And if you look at the direction of evolution as a spiral, you'll see it, it constantly, from the origin of creation all the way on up to this phone call, has been a continual rise of conscious awareness, connectivity, and freedom to create and destroy. So that gave me a sense that the universe has direction. Then he pointed out that the noosphere, what he called noosphere, N-O-O-S, sphere, the thinking layer of Earth, would at some point get its collective eyes. That's our global brain. And when that global brain was infused with love and creativity, it would actually, he called it the Christification of the Earth as a Jesuit. And that was before internet. Well, actually, when I read that, I had the intuition that that is the direction of evolution, that is the purpose of the new power, is to connect us in love, in time, to save the world from destruction, which would be for your healing impulse.
That's right.
And so I then realized that I had a life purpose to help communicate that love and that creativity. And that I personally, like every other human being, was the universe in person. Mm-hmm. The universe shows up as us. And it has, you know, we have every atom, molecule, cell, lower brain, upper brain, higher brain, all of that comes from the whole story of creation. We are a resume of the story. So now I found a life purpose, this awakening to greater love and creativity, and I found that I was in the direction of the universe itself. In other words, my personal longing was for what the universe was going toward.
Yes.
Now that is a huge revelation, because what it does, it affirms your inner impulse to create. It affirms you as an expression of divine intent, if you want to say so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the answer to your question.
Yeah, no, fabulous. Is it just you, Barbara, or can anyone find their soul's purpose, their calling, and then live it? So speak to these listeners out there.
Oh, yes.
How do they do that?
It is anyone, everyone, in fact, has an innate, unique soul's purpose. And anyone can discover it by tuning in to what most moves you to create, what most attracts you to become, what most gives you life when you do it. That's true. Everyone has something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next step for everyone is to explore it until you can say yes to it. And when you say yes to it, you tune into the force of creation.
Yes.
That's what happened to me and to almost everybody that I know who is at the growing edge of change.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put. That's exactly what's happened to me as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just love that. And people can live it. I remember it must have been in your Birth 2012 book, but you talked about, I think there were four questions. You had people think about whether they remember signing a contract. And
Yes.
Remember? I love that.
It was this was an insight I got once from a kind of guided meditation, and I found myself up on a ledge above the world, and I was behind me were Greek philosophers, and I was sitting on the ledge with a group of people, and we were all to jump off to be there in time to help with the planetary birth, and I was to ask people four or five questions. And here's the first question. Do you remember having volunteered to come here?
Mm-hmm.
If so, what is your unique contract? Why are you here? What do you do best toward that, that would be the best of what anyone could do? In other words, your uniqueness as your best.
Yep.
So what you do uniquely best, only you can do, not anybody else. And then the fourth one was, what do you most need to do it that you don't yet have?
Yes.
Those are great questions, aren't they?
I love them. I have used them over and over with people
really?
in my therapy practice. Because, you know, I think you said that in this newly revised book, too, that people are rising up. People are wanting more than ever, I feel, to know their soul's purpose. It's like they're not satisfied with status quo. They're not satisfied with who it is they've been. And I have people asking me, particularly women, asking me these kinds of questions, like, you know, who am I really? And what is my soul's purpose? And how do I achieve it? How do I get there? And I hear this over and over in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's. I think there's a rising, emerging species of humanity now. I believe we are becoming a new human and a new humanity, and the new human has exactly that trait very strongly in them. It's an impulse to express, create your own unique divine impulse for the good.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say yes to it, you start to evolve so rapidly because the existing structure is not able to handle the crises we're in. They're all top-down silos pyramid structures in health, in the education field, the global corporations, the organized religions, you will not find real leadership at the head of anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're maintaining power. They might even have very good impulses, but it's harder and harder at the top to do the new. So the ones that can do the new are the ones that are not at the top of the pyramid structure most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we're the one that actually need to know the direction of evolution and of our own life purpose, and we need to connect that which is creative.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, in your book, you talk about cultural creatives versus co-creators, that co-creators are the next step.
Yes.
And could you say a little more about that?
Well, cultural creatives, Paul Ray did a wonderful, important study where people whose values were changing, and mainly lifestyle values toward more sustainability, towards racial equality, and a lot of very good social behavior patterns, and most of them felt they were alone. And it was, I would say, a deep lifestyle shift. And the co-creator is somebody whose creativity within has been so deeply aroused, like mine or yours, mm-hmm. and are wanting and needing to join with others in order to realize what they want to create. So it's not just a lifestyle change, for example, that I went through when I got that I am a universe in person.
Yeah.
And that I had a mission, which was to go and tell the story of the birth of a new species, a new humanity.
Yes.
Well, that's very different than changing my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it certainly did change my lifestyle.
Yes, it did. I remember reading about that.
It was a huge jump in my lifestyle, and not necessarily so positive for everybody. I had to get a divorce. I took 5 children to Washington, D.C. I lived with a man and created 25 amazing SynCon conferences and broke every rule. But I broke every rule in order to fulfill a divine purpose.
Yes, you did.
And so I think I also learned something about the nature of evolutionary morality. I think of myself as actually a very traditional person, and I've always felt that, but recently I was talking to somebody and I realized that I'm actually not that traditional in the whole sense of the word. I'm always on a frontier, but it always feels completely normal to me. So I have coined a phrase for people like us, which would be the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we're doing, we're evolving, we're not going into traditional jobs, we may have not traditional relationships, but at the same time, we're very genuinely normal,
mm-hmm.
because this is what evolution needs in order to have us survive. So that would be normalcy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, when you were speaking, I was thinking about when I came out with my divorce book called Conscious Divorce, Ending a Marriage with Integrity, which was in 2001. It was published by Random House, which is pretty darn good, but I had a publisher tell me no one would buy my book, that people were still pulling each other's hair on Jerry Springer, that there'd be no way that any publisher would pick up that title.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so speaking of, being ahead, it's like you have constantly been on the cutting edge and you've been ahead of your time, but so was Jesus and so were so many other people. But I was told that, and then Random House is who published my book. So the person was wrong, but it still was ahead of its time in the sense that there were people still pulling each other's hair on Jerry Springer, if you see what I'm saying, but in 2001. But I still published the book, and now there are other books coming out that are being, that are similar to my title, because people are more ready now for being able to consciously divorce or to leave with love. was another type. Yeah,
people believe with love. Yeah, yes,
that's right.
That's very good. That is exactly the type of thing I'm talking about. That would mm-hmm. be a new norm.
Yep.
And it's very good for people to recognize when they're doing something that's at the evolutionary edge of what has been called normal. And you might be even breaking some rules of what was called normal, and you're doing it for the purpose of the expanding good.
That's right.
And we have to learn how to evaluate there, because you can also be very selfish, you see. So it doesn't mean that anything goes and anything you want to do is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that. So that's where you need good judgment and wisdom and good advice. But if you want to be an evolutionary person, it means you're at your own growing edge. And it means you're at the world's growing edge, too.
That's right.
Because
right.
the world, actually, when you, I'll just tell you one brief story.
Sure.
During harmonic convergence, you remember that?
Yeah.
Big event, and I got a call from, Radio Free America, Radio Free Radio, no, Radio, Voice of America, Voice of
yeah.
America. And this woman said, Mrs. Hubbard, don't you think it's ridiculous that people would get up in the morning and go to the top of mountain to hum? That's what they did during harmonic convergence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't think that's ridiculous, but I do think it's ridiculous that people get up every morning and go to the laboratories to invent bombs to destroy the world.
Good for you.
That's ridiculous. And she said, you know what? You're right.
Mm.
You see, it was normal for people to get up and make thermonuclear bombs, and abnormal for them to get up and resonate. So this is where the value system has to be turned around.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. You know, and we've been talking about individual growth, which is the human potential movement, really. But what about this new social potential movement? There's a segue, is there not, from self to society?
Yes, well, that's the subtitle of my book, as you know, Conscious
Yep.
Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential. And
yes.
The analogy I make is Abraham Maslow coined this phrase, the self-actualizing person. And this was somebody who had life purpose, who was beneficent, who was joyful, and he started to map human wellness, human goodness at the higher levels. Now, I began to map social goodness, social success, innovations that work, solutions to problems, and found that there is already in our midst a self-actualizing society made mm-hmm. up of projects that work toward a sustainable, evolvable world. And so the book Conscious Evolution is saying we're at the threshold of the self-actualizing society, and to do that we need to map and track and connect and communicate what's working in the world. Most of our media tells us what isn't working. I get the New York Times and read it every day to find out everything that is not working in the world.
You know, I refuse to watch the news anymore because it's just so horribly depressing. I won't watch it.
No, I know. Well, I watch it because, I mean, I watch it a little bit, and I read the Times to find out everything that I cannot do anything about, mm-hmm. because I have such a big list of things I can do something about.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm doing my filing system, and I have a friend here sitting on the floor in the midst of these tons of files, and mm-hmm. all of them are projects. And as I started to review them just before this radio show, I was at the brink of thinking I was crazy because there's so many of them, and I'm so creative. And I thought, oh, Barbara, can you stop? But the answer was no.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I stop?
Well, I'm glad you haven't stopped. We really need you.
I'm 85 years old.
I know it.
And this does seem to me to be the resurrection from the dead story, regeneration or something.
Yes, but you know, I just interviewed Alberto Villoldo. I pre-recorded a show with him, who just wrote a book called One Spirit Medicine. He said we're going to live to be 150 and die while we're making love. How about that idea?
Oh, is that a good picture? I'm going to put that on my desk.
Yeah, put that phrase, you know, we're going to die
while
we're making love.
You're going to live until 150 and die while making love.
That's what Alberto Villoldo just said to me.
Alberto, so, well, that is a really, really good one.
I know.
I like that a lot. I have to write that down.
Yeah, because if you're going this strong at 85, Barbara, I can't even imagine what you're going to create or what your mind and spirit are going to come up with next.
Alberto
Villoldo, and his show will be airing next Thursday, the 21st, if you'd like to listen to it. He's fantastic.
Villoldo. Oldo. Okay, that's it.
Yeah, you're gonna love his book. His book is fantastic. His latest one, One Spirit Medicine.
Tell me that quote again.
We're going to live to 150 and die while making love.
I love it.
I knew you'd love it. So I think we're going to take a break at this point, and we'll only take one break during the show, all of you wonderful listeners, and we'll be right back with Barbara Marx Hubbard and her incredible book, Conscious Evolution.
Hi, I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip of the day. When it comes to positive thinking and the law of attraction, many of us could say, been there, done that, read the book. So what happened if we didn't get there, didn't achieve the goal, didn't step into our abundance? Typically, there are some core wounds and core fears that keep us from stepping out. We also have energies in our ancestral lines, our cultural and family codes, and even agreements that keep us in check. So let me challenge you. When you had the desire that burned in your soul, what happened? How did discouragement set in? Why did you stop? What came up for you? Whose voices? Listen, there's hope, but it does not come from suppressing the energy that's within you. We all know it's going to spill out somewhere. So join me on Transformation Talk Radio and Sheer Alchemy, and we're going to find out how we can shift you into the intentions that can manifest for you.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Are you feeling stressed, in pain, disconnected, worried about aging? Corrective Alignment and Integration Therapy restores health. Move your body, which frees your mind and elevates your spirit. Bodywise Bodywork LLC provides the tools you need to create the change you've been waiting for. Start living a fully present and integrated life. Book your 15-minute consultation online at www.bodywisebodywork.com. Bodywise Bodywork LLC, because it's the only body you've got.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Are you looking for more balance and direction in your financial life? We all have questions. When can I retire? When do I want to retire? Will I run out of money? Is there a better way? All are valid questions, no matter what your goals. Jeff Pacman, financial advisor with Pacman Brown & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated in Bellevue, Washington, is hosting an evening to address these questions and more on November 5th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Call 425-372-4813 for a formal invitation. Hors d'oeuvres, beverages, and parking will be provided. This is an informational event. There is no cost or obligation. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back, everyone, to We Carry the Light. This is Dr. Susan, and I'm here with the amazing Barbara Marks Hubbard and her revised book, Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential. We're having a rip-roaring discussion and some laughter as well. And so we've been talking, obviously, about conscious evolution, about the changes that are happening now and that are ahead of us. So I wanted to focus a little more on the book, the beautiful book. I hope you all get it. And talk a little bit about conscious evolution. Are there some changes that have happened since 2012 when you were last on my show? Do you see progress, Barbara?
Yes, I see remarkable progress in this particular way, is that more and more people that I meet feel that something new is being born in them, feel a rise of creativity and love. There is, in some respects, the thing that seems to be breaking through in people's lives is love. Mm-hmm. That love is, I'm working on a book with Mark Gaffney called The Universe, A Love Story. And it is looking at the actual pattern that brought quarks together to make more complex systems and molecules and all and proteins all the way on up to the connectivity that you are now seeing on planet Earth through the internet, through Facebook, through Twitter, through Google, through 7 billion cell phones. You see a rise of complexity through allurement, through attraction, through connectivity. That has been the pattern, how the universe creates out of disorder higher order. It's through attraction of innovations that join together to create a new whole greater than the sum of the parts. So I think what's happening as we're facing on this planet conscious evolution, we're conscious we can affect our own evolution, we can destroy our life support system, we can evolve our world, and right within that, many of us realize that the empathy, creativity, love of one another, of nature, of animals, of our potential, of the spirit within and spirit beyond, this love is at the core of the evolutionary movement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you.
It's evolutionary love. You see, there's all kinds of love, of course. But the evolutionary love seems to have fallen in love with the emergent world and want to bring and care for all being as part of what's emerging. It's passionate.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
right. It motivates your whole life. I mean, I'm sure what a little bit I know about you, you're motivated by this evolutionary love.
Yes, I am. You know, as you were speaking, I was having this synchronicity with this new book you're writing, because I just wrote a song. I'm a singer-songwriter also. I just wrote a song called Universe of Love.
Really?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Universe of Love. And I, so, you know, isn't it interesting? This has been true throughout time, that somebody in India, somebody in New York, I mean, there are these ideas and these thoughts and these feelings and these movements that come about at the same time.
It's amazing. It's really, really wonderful.
I love it. So I'd love for you to be more specific for listeners in terms of this shift. Like, what do you see emerging in terms of perhaps businesses or companies or organizations that you see are part of this new social potential movement?
Well, I can describe one that was an event that brought a lot of these people together. It was called Success 3.0, a summit. And it was a summit of major entrepreneurs. And it was chaired by John Mackey of Whole Foods. Mm. And had maybe 15 different major business leaders, like the man who makes Tom's shoes. And there was Arianna Huffington. And there was a man called Tony Hsieh of Zappo Shoes. And Zappo Shoes, he's a billionaire, unbelievably, but that's the case.
Wow.
And he, for example, like John Mackey, wanted to make food that was healthy and take care of his employees and do good. Tony Hsieh got up there and described how he realized cities are not working. So he researched what makes a city really work for the people. And he discovered many, many characteristics of such cities, and he decided to redesign downtown Las Vegas.
Wow.
Now, there's a very big entrepreneur with a big vision and actually spending huge sums of his money to recreate a city as a model for how people can grow. Now, when you start to see that sort of thing, you really have a lot going for you, for the very, very top of it all. And so I am also a close associate with someone, Bharat Mitra, who runs Organic India. And that's a company that makes organic foods, organic teas, organic substances of all kinds, and currently is working in India to help reclaim agriculture in India through organic agriculture, again, not having to use the GMOs. So there are big business people, which I think is very exciting, because business is like the engine that can make things happen. And when people at the growing edge of business actually are able to shift their own energy in this direction while continuing to make money.
Yep.
So it's not saying don't make money and just do good, because then you don't have the resources to do the good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, I find that creative entrepreneurship is certainly among the most important things. There is a wonderful group called the Center for Integral Wisdom, and they are the ones that put on the Success Summit. And there is a man called Mark Gaffney, G-A-F-N-I-M-A-R-C, who has written a book called Becoming Your Unique Self. And in the Center for Integral Wisdom, they're working to change the source code of success and what an individual can be. So in his understanding, an individual is one, just what we're saying, who incarnates the impulse of creativity in a unique and irreplaceable way. Everyone. And how do you become a unique self? Is the teaching that's going with it. I would say the Shift Network, where I'm doing all my teaching on the Shift Network, is another example of a business that is doing massive good by bringing to almost a million people these kinds of ideas, like I have in my courses on Shift Network.
Yep.
And many other people do as well.
Wonderful. I'm glad you shared that. You know, my good friend Eleanor Lacaine has also been instrumental in, you know, you have a lot about her ideas in your book, your Conscious Evolution book.
Yes.
So she has been instrumental in finding out what's working.
Yes, she is. She's wonderful at that. In fact, she's brought it into politics.
Yes, she has.
Which I think is
so
great.
Has. Well, you also tried to bring it into politics, did you not?
I did.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, that was really quite unusual. I had the deep feeling that I needed to make a contribution toward American democracy. So I decided to run to be selected as the vice presidential nominee on the Democratic ticket in 1984. And I went around the country and raised money, created positive future centers, arrived at the Democratic convention with no money, no media, and no passes to the floor, and nothing. And I was told I'd be lucky to get one delegate if she were my mother. What? Hello?
I'm here.
Somebody was just coming onto the line.
No,
I would be lucky to get one delegate if she were my mother.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, what happened was I got into the convention, and I just went like 5:30 a.m. South Dakota. Go in, and you have 30 seconds to speak, Barbara. So I said, I'm Barbara Marks Herbert. I'm running for vice president in order to give the world a view that this party is going to find what's working in America and the world. If you nominate me, I'll give my votes to Geraldine Ferraro, and I'll make a speech. You'll be so proud of yourself. And they nominated me. I was the other woman nominated, and I got to make the speech.
Well, that shows you, boy, are you determined. I read about, you know, in your revised conscious evolution, how you got your signatures to over 200 signatures. And
isn't it wonderful? And so I learned by doing that, that there's no such thing as thinking you're going to fail.
Absolutely.
It was a completely impossible task, and I didn't fail. So now I know I can't fail. And we can't fail, and you can't fail, not if you put your love and your heart into it, because everything good that everybody does is a seed that grows one way or the other. You may not live to see it, but that's why you shouldn't die.
Exactly. Well, don't forget we're living to 150, right? So I was going to say that there's a legacy, is there not, from what you did in terms of being nominated for vice president, and there's a legacy from your birth 2012 event that you had. And so you say in your book, it's not going to be one day, but it'll change. It'll be different. So talk about this, the legacy of what is happening.
Well, just on the 2012 legacy, yeah. I think deep in the hearts of everybody that participated, and there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who participated, when I have contacted them, they've said something is being born in me. Mm-hmm. I am different. And that's what I started to say. I'm calling it an emerging human,
yes.
An emerging species of human, co-creative humans, unique self humans. And I believe actually Mother Earth is giving birth to a new species. Now, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is.
I think it's great news. I think it's great news. You know,
just put headline, Mother Earth giving birth to new species. Good news, !
You know, I love that part of your book about, you called it the new news.
Yes.
We started to talk about it earlier, about the media being so negative, and say something about what new news would look like.
Well, you are like new news. You see, all the small radio shows that I'm on, there are scores and scores and scores of them. They're all the new news. And almost everybody, like yourself, is already a new human.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's quite a compliment coming from you. Thank
yes,
you.
It's a compliment.
I'm a new human. I'm going to go around telling everybody. I'm going to introduce myself that way from now on.
Just introduce yourself that way. If you want to go really far, you can say I'm a mutant. Jonas Salk many, many years ago, and when I first met him, and I had never met anybody like myself, and I was telling him all the things wrong with me, like I'm attracted to the future, I feel I have something important to do, I'd had 5 children, you must be neurotic, that was the Freudian analysis of me. And Jonas said, Barbara, that's not what's wrong with you, that's what's right about you. You are a mutant. Now, he was Jonas Salk, the biologist that invented Salk vaccine. I mean, this was a very major person. And he said, I will introduce you to a few other mutants. And he did. And by meeting Jonas and this man, Al Rosenfeld, who was science editor of Life magazine and a few others, they all had the quality of attraction to what's emerging, mm-hmm. of yearning to participate in the evolution of the new.
Yes.
Teilhard called it homo progressivus, attracted to the future as an organism progressing toward the unknown, and you have a part to play in it. So when you say yes to your part, you become new by that yes. Like, I'm new because I said yes mm-hmm. to telling the story of the birth of a new species. I got to be new by doing it.
Yes, absolutely. And so can everybody listening.
Everybody, that's we say, everyone has within a unique self, has an impulse of creativity that is uniquely your own. And when you feel what attracts you, what propels you forward, you have to cultivate that, say yes to that, and be a pioneer. I'm going to do a global communion of pioneering souls to create a sacred space for the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And the pioneers are the mutants, and we're worldwide, and it's not a new religion, it's a new person.
Yes. I'm meeting them all the time. I have all these people that I don't know well, but I'm connected on a very, very spiritual level with these people I'm having on my show, people that I now say are my sisters that I've met. There's, you know, one in New York, one in Arizona. So it's like we're finding each other, aren't we?
Yes, indeed we are.
I love it. So how does education need to change, Barbara?
Oh, my God.
We need a whole show for that, right?
Education, I tell you, what we have to do is change the perspective. Instead of knowing more and more about less and less, as they do as you get to be a PhD, I believe education should get an overview of the entire process of creation. I have it in my living room, a map. It starts with the origin of the universe. It goes to the formation of Earth, life, animal life, human life, billions and billions of galaxies, and so on. And then you map what we know about all that has been evolving. Then you create the wheel of co-creation. Of sectors of the wheel are what is evolving now. What is breaking through in health, education, economics, energy, and so forth? And you begin to educate people on the emerging world, not just on how to solve problems, but on how to evolve solutions.
Yes.
And so I'm going to be doing a major educational program, I believe, on Ubiquity University, which is going to be reaching out to people all around the world who want a college degree in a very inexpensive way, on internet mainly. And I want to just tell the story of what's evolving and how we can participate in it.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, also people who are listening, you can get Barbara's book, Conscious Evolution, and she has a whole plan in this book for changing the educational system, as she just described, first studying the past, and then moving up into the present, and then planning for the future.
Exactly. And,
yep. No, I loved the way you presented it in the book. I thought it was excellent. So tell people, before we go any further, how they can get your book, how they can contact you or your organization.
Well, the book, of course, you can get on Amazon.com or my website, evolve.org.
Wonderful.
And if you go to evolve.org, you can sign up for my new newsletter and be on my mailing list, so you'll know more.
Wonderful. So I guess I want us to talk a bit of just briefly about the problems we're facing, some of the challenges, because I frankly hear people say, there's nothing I can do. The problems are too great, especially global warming. I am only one person, and I see people kind of pulling the covers over their heads.
Yes.
And so I want you to talk a bit about that. These are very, very serious problems. And, you know, you talk about in the book, sometimes we need something like that, do we not? We need,
well, I think in evolutionary history, crisis precedes transformation almost all the time. Stress causes evolution. When things are not working is when things start to have to innovate and transform. So what we're seeing due to, let's say, the global warming crisis and the carbon emissions crisis is you see a rapid rise of solar energy. And there are people who believe things are actually getting better. And they're also getting worse at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry that my phone just turned ringing. It's the worst of time and it's the best of time simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more innovation, creativity, and newness coming, and because of the crises and because of the creativity of humanity, than ever before in the world. We have a new nervous system on internet that can connect us globally, instantaneously, worldwide. Absolutely new. Transcends government, transcends current mass media. The people have a nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we haven't fully learned how to use it.
Yep.
But that's because we're very young as a species. The whales are millions of years old, and the thing is, we don't have a lot of time to grow up. So
mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do this really fast now.
Yes. Do you think we have enough time, Barbara? Because I've had people on my show like Lynn Twist, you know, who talks about 4 more years. I had someone else on my show saying we have 30 years maximum.
Fact is, nobody knows.
Yeah.
There's no elder on this planet who's been through the high-tech, overpopulating, polluting phase. It's like a birth. If you've never seen a birth of a baby, I've had 5 children. I thought if I didn't know, I'd think I was dying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Truly dying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we don't know what a planet goes through when it hits a limit to one form of conscious growth.
Yes.
We've hit a limit, but who wants to preserve the social systems the way they are, actually? With this degree of starvation and hunger and inequality, would you want this to be preserved? No.
No.
So what you want is something better. So what the opportunity today is, and this takes evolutionary faith, and I have a lot of evolutionary faith having witnessed the 14 billion years that came before me.
Yeah.
My evolutionary faith says it's arrogant to be pessimistic in the face of the billions of years of evolution to create you. That is arrogant and selfish.
Yep. Yep, I
and
like
I
that.
And I actually don't give it a lot of credibility.
Mm-hmm. I like it. You know, you had one phrase when you were talking about evolutionary drivers in your book. You said, as crises mount, innovations increase.
Exactly.
I love that, because that really says it all, doesn't it?
It says it all. And then the arrogance of pessimism. It's a phrase I heard years ago from Norman Cousins. He said, it's arrogant when you think that you yourself are 50 trillion cells coordinated in the most perfect way to produce you on an Earth that is replenishing life every second, and you are pessimistic. Then
good
you just
point.
Have to say, wait a minute. I've inherited all of this myself. So I have to act upon my inheritance.
Right. I had someone recently say to me that we're actually 7 years old, because our body completely replenishes itself in terms of cells every 7 years.
The whole thing is a miracle.
It is.
If you want to really notice the mystery story of all times, it's the story of evolution. That from no thing at all that we know of, in the first 3 seconds was a design so perfect that it produced energy, matter, life, and us. I swear to God, if you don't think that's a mystery, then you just don't have your eyes open.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you can be scientifically oriented, you can be spiritually oriented, whatever way you're seeing it, the mystery deepens the more you get to know about it. Now, there are some physicists that are really, to me, completely blind, who say the more you know about the universe, the more pointless it becomes. Steven Weinberg.
Mm.
I would like to give a swear word around that, if you don't mind. I'm not going to do it, but I'm thinking it.
All right.
I'm
you can
thinking
think
two
it.
Or three major swear words, because if you see all of this and you think the more you know about it, the more pointless it becomes, there's some point missing in you.
I think you're absolutely right.
Or you are missing the point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mr. Steven Weinberg, if you're listening, I hope you will contact me with your better understanding of reality.
Good job, Barbara. So we're winding down the show, although I've enjoyed every minute with you. I'm hoping that you can maybe say something to listeners about what is one thing they could do today, because if I think it's overwhelming, if it's like the person who sits down to write the perfect novel, it never happens. So what is something simple? What could
the most simple thing they could do today is ask themselves, what do I most love to give? And do it.
Fantastic. I love it. And it's been so wonderful having you on the show again. And I'm going to have you on my show if I live that long until you're 150. How's that, Barbara? I'd love to have you on again.
All right.
All right. So thank you very much for being here.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you all my incredible listeners who are choosing to be inspired and to transform yourself and your life. Thank you for helping humanity and our planet heal. Next week, we have Alberto Villoldo talking about One Spirit Medicine and how you can turn back what he calls the death clock and live into your hundreds. How about that, everybody? Until then, remember that you carry and shine the light.
You've been listening to the transformative show, We Carry the Light, with host Dr. Susan Allison. The show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. Who are you right now, and who do you want to be? What is it that makes you happy, helps you feel fulfilled, and living your purpose? Tune in every Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.